Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick. And Mike, let's see how much you paid attention in the pre-show. Who is running our board today?
Ross Fenstermaker.
Okay, the first part is
pretty close.
Correct.
He's so, betting 50%. That's not bad.
Yeah, there you go. Good job.
I said hi to Ross today.
He did.
Ross, what did I ask you?
He asked me if we've ever met before.
And then what was the next thing I asked?
What's your name?
Yeah, yeah.
I knew.
See?
I knew.
I prepared.
Now, unfortunately.
we've met before.
In the cross. Yes,
it.
I know.
Dang it.
In the crosstalk, Corey brought us the devastating news that not only is Kirby Yates not back with the Rangers, he's actually signing with the Dodgers. I'm going to need a few more minutes to process that because I'm really upset about that. And we don't have a closer. And the Dodgers don't even need to use him as their closer. They might. Or they might use the $18 million a year guy they just signed. Or maybe he'll be their setup person. Because why the hell not?
Or yeah, they'll probably be like, you know what? One of these 80 starters that we have in our minor league system. We'll just throw one of those guys in.
Or the one we just got for $27 million below market every year. We'll just use Roki Sasaki. Whatever. Screw the Dodgers. Anyway,
it's awesome that they're spending, though.
Yeah.
Like that's a cool thing to see that owners are willing to go out there and do it whenever most of the time we hear that owners aren't.
I know we're not in baseball nuggets, but I'm just wondering, how come other teams are players only doing this for the Dodgers? Or why not offer Kenley Jansen a 2-year contract and just say, just defer 90% of it?
So, by the way, Carter Freeman is here, too. He might be here longer than he anticipated. We'll see how that goes.
Happy to wait.
But I just want to point out one thing. And this is something, and if we want to get into it right now, Carter, I don't mean to waste your time.
No.
We might push college football talk.
That's fine.
No, it's okay, because we do have baseball nuggets coming up.
This is what I wanted to say about that. Because if you're in California, there is incentive to take the contract that's set up like that. If you live in Texas, why the hell would you do that? Because they're like, oh, you can get all the money in 10 years. And you're like, well, I don't have to worry about paying the same exorbitant
taxes.
Exactly. Whereas if you're in California, there's a lot of reason to defer that money because you're like, I'm going to get the hell out of here by the time that money comes in. I'm not going to have to pay taxes on it. That is an inherent, like, weird advantage that I would imagine that the Yankees, Mets, and all the California teams would have.
Yeah. I don't think New York though has an entertainment tax.
Okay, do they not?
I think I have
believe
to look this
you.
Up. I think California has that the random entertainment tax.
Well, then there you go.
Of Hollywood.
There's a California incentive that lets you know like why you would be more inclined to defer that money for people that were always curious like why did Shohei do that to begin with? I mean, maybe it's because he's a super nice guy and they want to get more money for their players, which clearly has worked.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's because he's like, I don't want to pay all those damn taxes.
There's 4 other teams in California, though, and none of them are even attempting to do this.
It is weird. I don't know either because I get like at the beginning, the Dodgers were smarter than everybody else. But you've all seen how it works for more than a year now. Like, surely we've all been like, I checked the numbers, Steve. They're sound. Mm. Oh, well, let's go ahead with it, Gary. I don't know why those are the people who run the accounting departments at all these major league teams, but they are.
How long have the Dodgers ownership owned the Dodgers, like this specific group?
I'm not sure.
I would say, remember there was craziness in the, like, say, 2010, because the dude was going through a divorce, and then there was a tough time selling it.
Ned Coletti, wasn't he the old owner?
Yeah,
and then he was the Magic Johnson team bought it, like, 2012, 2013.
Somewhere around there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, March 2012. So the Guggenheim Baseball Management, led by Mark Walter, they've owned it since March 2012, and they bought it for $2.15 billion.
Oh, that was a good investment.
And so, and since then, they're just like, hey, we made all our money back. We made it all back already, guys, because we're here in L.A. Let's go ahead and start rolling this into, let's make a winner. Let's make something crazy. Let's make something that could be considered a dynasty for even longer. If they can keep it all together like that, because it looks like they can keep money rolling out for a while.
And this might be a weird way to think about it, and I don't know how much this changes your business plans or not, but I'm curious, like, what do season ticket sales or what do everyday ticket sales end up being in Los Angeles this year, now that, like, so many of your people in that area have been devastated, lost their homes, I'm sure lost their places of business. Like, I have no idea how that equates to, like, turnstile count, or if you would get a refund on your season tickets if you're like, hey, I don't have any money. My insurance company took my insurance away. I don't know. All right, let's get in to college football. Give me cut number one. I guess this is kind of what sealed it after Notre Dame made a huge comeback.
Howard out of the shotgun, back to pass at his own 25. He'll gun that deep down the right side, and it is caught by Jeremiah Smith at the 30 of Notre Dame. He's taken to the Fighting Irish 10-yard line by cornerback Christian Gray. Howard to Smith, getting the Buckeyes in the Giant Eagle red zone.
Now, I realize that they still had to make the field goal, or else it could have been a crazy scenario, but this felt like the play to me, Carter, that wrapped it up. When I kind of maybe thought at the beginning of the third quarter the game was over, but it was not.
Not even at the beginning of the third quarter. I thought almost beginning of the fourth, like, there's no chance.
Yeah.
Because Notre Dame, that first drive, did whatever they wanted, marched right down the field, took 10 minutes of game time almost, scored, perfect opening drive. They didn't convert another third down until 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Like, they had nothing.
Wow.
They were getting 2 or 3 yards a drive before they had to punt. I mean, that is how much Ohio State figured them out after that first drive. But yeah, that my friends and I had been texting saying that, you know, Ryan Day and Chip Kelly weren't taking the kill shot. Like, they needed to do something to put that game away. And they just were not doing. They were allowing Notre Dame to have their way, Jaden Greathouse to make all the receptions in the fourth quarter to put Notre Dame back in that game. And they finally did with that Jeremiah Smith catch.
The field goal, I still don't understand. Can you all help me with the
Marcus Freeman one?
Yeah, I'm going for bigger points there, and he
evidently, and Marcus Freeman took some blame.
I get that
afterwards.
They missed it, but if you say I have a 5% chance of getting this touchdown, now obviously they didn't make the field goal. If he's saying I'll just cut it to 13, I know that it's risky because now you got to stop them, score, you win. But I guess if he's saying I don't have a play from the, was it the 9-yard line?
Yeah, maybe so.
I can't get a touchdown. I literally can't score a touchdown from the 9-yard line. If you think you can't score a touchdown, I understand kicking the field goal. And so that's what I guess he's saying is we can't score. But I get, like, I was surprised. I was like, screw it. You just have to do it. Even if you know that there's a 1% chance you're going to succeed. But he was like, I think there's a 100% chance we're not going to succeed in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have made a 2-score game a 2-score game. So I don't like that. I like, you know, going for, and especially because they had, you know, been aggressive earlier in the fourth quarter, and they had, you know, scored and they had gotten the 2-point conversion. Like, I'm like, your offense has finally figured things out, so just go for it. But I think they were rewarded with the proper result, which is a doink for kicking the field goal at that point, which, by the way, that was the ball, once it hit the upright, it didn't move. The ball just stood, it didn't spin.
Knuckleballed off
it
of
just
it, yeah.
hit the post and then just fell straight down.
It looked like a video game. It looked like an old video game.
And it was a weird sounding doink too. When I heard it, I'm like, that's not the typical, like, crazy clang that you hear. It was
there
just
was no
different
spin
sound.
On it or anything. Yeah. I have to admit, I'm not saying I just thought that Notre Dame was going to, like, really dominate this game once they marched down the field, like you said, and scored. And Riley Leonard, good for him, showing off his Bible verse on his wrist and everything. That was pretty cool. But the second quarter was pretty stunning to me to see everything change from Notre Dame, march, 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 and then I got nothing, and Ohio State's going to be like, I don't even know if you belong in this game. Because that's what it went from. I can't believe Notre Dame marched down the field and scored to, depending on who you follow on social media and everything, I knew last weekend or the weekend before was the national championship game. Like, in the span of one quarter, it went from, this is why Notre Dame shouldn't be in this game. Mm-hmm. Or it went to that.
Yeah, it was just so back and forth. But to me, this was such a... and. Any way you look at it, I think these Notre Dame teams that Marcus Freeman is coaching are much different, much more prepared for this than anything we saw from Brian Kelly. Because in Brian Kelly's three either BCS championship games or college football playoff games, they lost by an average of like 28 points.
Yeah.
And this was on that way, but the way that they adjusted, albeit too late, that's something that a Brian Kelly team would never do. So, again... the Ohio State team that they ended up facing as an 8 seed, that's not going to be there every time. You're not going to have a team that talented most times be in that spot. But I think, yeah, this Notre Dame team and this what Marcus Freeman has done there is here to stay, much more so than anything Brian Kelly would have done had he stayed there.
Well, when you're discussing kind of the seeding there a little bit, do y'all think that they're going to readjust this in this next go-around? They're going to change the seeding this time?
So the presidents of the conferences already met this past weekend, and they didn't vote on anything. Okay. They have to have unanimous support, and right now the ACC, the Big 12, and the Group of Five conferences have no incentive to change anything.
Change, yeah.
And it's just 1 year.
Exactly.
Like I'd say, yeah, this happened in 1 year, but if we take 1 year results, I would say they're probably going to let this play out at least 3 years. And go, this is a new system. Let's see what happens after 3 years until we make a major change in how we're doing this.
We let the 4 team college football playoff play out for about 8 years before they decided we want to move to 12. And the way that they build these contracts too is there's certain points over the life of the deal where they say, all right, this is a point where we can make these wholesale changes. Because it was originally a 12-year deal for the 4-team playoff. They changed it after year 10.
I might be a prisoner of the moment, but because of the structure of the 12-team playoff and having to go through way more to win the national title than you ever have before, beating the number 9, 7, 5, and 1 team back to back to back to back by an average of 17.5 points feels like one of the most incredible runs, if not the most incredible, in the history of college football.
Yeah, because you don't normally play that many top 10 teams at any given time, and you definitely don't beat them. I still look at the way they played in that Michigan game.
It was awful.
And some of the games, like when they barely beat Nebraska late in the season, there were a couple other games where I'm like, I don't understand how they ever played that poorly. But yeah, this is as good of a singular run as a team's gone on to win a national title. I still don't know if I'm putting them up there with like 2019 LSU, 2020 Alabama just yet. But yeah, if you just isolate the last month, it's phenomenal.
I think the loss, you're really spot on, because the loss to Michigan really hurts, because at least with Oregon, you lost by 1 point. Oregon was undefeated
on
number
the road.
One for a big chunk of the season. You went in, and it's not often you get to say this, you won by 20 in a game that wasn't that close. Like, they were up 34-0. They definitively annihilated the only team that they would have lost to by 1 point on the road. But when you tag them with the baggage of that Michigan loss, then it feels hard in the all-time conversation to be like, well, they have to be there.
But they needed that. I mean, that's pretty clear that they needed Michigan to win the national title last year, and then they needed to lose to them again this year to really motivate them. It's weird that they, you know, the $20 million roster that they're getting, you know, all the players are getting paid, that's not motivation enough. They needed all these other exterior things. And that's, as the sport changes, that's the joy of the old guard of the sport still staying, where like you have to have those things happen to you from your rivals. Even if, you know, a year ago, if Michigan had beaten Ohio State, they would never be in the situation. But you still need things like that as a 19, 20-year-old on these teams, that emotional loss to really push you to get to where you want to be, end up being a national champion.
Corey, do you think, I would include all of you guys, but Corey, do you think it should be mandatory? It'd have to be on satellite radio, or they'd have to make a special waiver in Ohio, that every Buckeye fan should have to tune in to Ryan Day's address where he says, well, I have a microphone and you don't, so you will listen to everything I have to say. Because people acted like this guy was the worst piece of trash
that
has ever existed in coaching.
Did you see Raw's War? Did you see the first sign that they showed?
Oh, no. What was the first sign?
It's been, I think it's 1,826 days. This person must travel to
since
all the Raws.
Since they beat Michigan?
Since they beat Michigan.
Oh, yeah. They just won the national title.
2019.
Remember
they
what Stephen
beaten them this
A
decade.
And Sterling Sharp said after that Michigan game? Ryan Day's going to get fired.
If he'd lost to Tennessee, I think he would have. But then you go beat all, you know, four top nine teams by double digits, and then you're good.
this is the kind of text that I want them to follow back with me. I'll just fundamentally never understand. Y'all are giving them all praise, but Notre Dame was down to their backups and backups. All right. So first of all, not true. They had their quarterback, if nothing else. But also, is that to say that we should ignore that Ohio State won the national title?
Well, the run all the way up to
it. I don't know, man. Take that phone number down. That might be Joe Montana.
That run to get
Lou
there
Holtz was there too.
Pretty impressive. So I think that matters. And they solidified the Big Ten as the most powerful conference in all of football because the Big Ten's the best.
The first time since, I believe, the 40s that the Big Ten's won back-to-back AP national titles.
Wow.
It was like Minnesota in the early 1940s.
And congratulations to the ACC because they got Notre Dame in that game. I've been watching basketball.
Affiliate.
But for some reason in football, they're on their own, so they don't have to split up their payments with anybody. All right, just real quick, probably to the surprise of no one, Texas and Ohio State are entering next year as favorites. Arch Manning is one of the favorites to win the Heisman Trophy. I realize so much stuff can happen, but just if you looked at it at this moment, does that feel like a fair starting point?
I think those are the two best teams, and you know what's going to be really fun? They play in week one.
Yes,
Texas
Ohio State.
Texas and Ohio State play in Columbus in week one next season.
Ohio State
is... So we get
is
the national championship game on day one?
Pretty much.
Yep, and love a Cotton Bowl rematch, too.
Currently, Ohio State's favored by 3.5. In case you wanted to know
already?
That.
Already? Give me the points.
Okay. Mike Bassick.
Write it down.
On record in January. I'll take the 3.5 points going into this game. All right, Carter. Well, actually, we might
dress
have
up
you.
As Michigan players.
Okay. We actually might have you on again this week because there's a lot of other college football stuff to discuss. But obviously, we want to kick off talking about the national championship game. Thank you very much for the info.
Yep.
Sir.
Just let me know.
Absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I do believe Mike is going to ask all the football questions.
Yeah, like how much will Johnson help in Chicago?